I am content. My Jesus still lives. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed, what a text from this pastoral epistle. One could, I suppose, just wax eloquent this morning and refer this text simply to what's going to happen in this place 2 weeks from now. And there would indeed be much to be said. But I would like to take and certainly apply it to that, but with what much greater application and broader application to us and to others who might hear this sermon in terms of a simple message of God's grace. You simply cannot read through the Pauline corpus without coming to the conclusion that St. Paul was ever aware of God's grace to him. And there is certainly no greater passage in all of Scripture than Paul saying in our text, "Sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Paul calls himself some names here that I would dare say, in our arrogance, we wouldn't think of applying to ourselves. Blasphemous. Persecutor, the insolent. Paul nowhere, and certainly not in this text, indicates in any way that God owed him the office of the ministry. Or that somehow he had some special characteristics that gave him this office of authority. Paul summed up his ministry quite well in another place when he said, "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." I would hold out to you this morning that Paul's humility is the model that we ought to be looking at. What a model for those of us who either are already or who would be pastors. For if we truly look at ourselves, we can say, with Paul, chief, most prevalent sinner. For which one of us, when we look into the mirror of God's holy law, if we're going to be honest and have our eyes opened at all, do not see most clearly our sinfulness? And well, it ought to be so. That we say of ourselves, "Chief of sinners though I be," as the hymn says that is based on this text. We simply do not deserve this office at all. There is nothing we can bring to God and say, you were right in choosing me. You were right in calling me. We must, with Paul, say, by grace. What a blessing that he has singled some of us out to carry this gospel message out to others. To others who also look into that very same law and who also then become painfully aware of their sinfulness. And what a warning to us when Paul says here that the Lord even strung out along with him through all that history of insolence and persecution and blasphemy to demonstrate God's patience with those who are sinners. How we need that lesson in our office as well, when we want to become impatient with sinners, impatient with people who do not do as we would like them to do the first time around, ones who seem to be ignoring or not hearing or who are deaf and blind, as indeed Scripture says all of us were. What a mighty statement here when Paul says this is a faithful, a truthful saying, worthy of all acceptance, acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners are welcome here. Sinners are welcome in our churches. Sinners are welcome in God's presence. Because when they come and when they hear and when they believe, the very gates of heaven are thrown open to them. It's so simple, and in fact, I think some of us who are charged with preaching this beautiful, simple gospel, we even think it's just too easy. For the sake of time this morning, I did not have the alternate reading read this morning. But the alternate reading for this morning was that Old Testament occurrence when Naaman went to Elisha to be cured of leprosy. You perhaps remember the story well, how it was based on this little servant girl that was captured. She said, what simple faith. Why didn't he go to the prophet in Samaria? And how he goes to the wrong place, but finally to Elisha. And you remember Elisha says to him, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. And Naaman is incensed. He says, don't we have better rivers than that at home? And how someone had to say to him simply, if he had told you to do something difficult, you'd have run off and done it. But now he tells you to do something simple, and you get angry and don't want to do it. You remember he went and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times and was clean. The application of that to the gospel is so obvious, is it not? All we are asked to do to come to the Jordan of the gospel, dip ourselves in it in belief. Say yes to it. And the leprosy of sin is gone. Do you think Paul was impressed with that? Do you think we ought to be impressed with that? What might we do when we hear these words? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom each and every one of us can claim to be chief. Paul set the stage well for us. Depending on your disposition, it possibly ought to throw you down on your knees, prostrate before him. Or if you're so minded to stand up and raise holy hands to him in heaven. But Paul, every so often when he talks about this, he simply seems to be overcome. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. That's our response to the good news. That's our response as we work with each other and deal with each other when we go forth from this place to witness to one another and to a world who needs this gospel message desperately. That we do that doxologically. So indeed, please with me in your mind, let us close with, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.